Thank you, David. Good morning, everybody. Got a sermon here for you, hot off the press. Let's go ahead and up in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to come together in your house to worship you as one body, one mind, one mouth. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share what you've placed in my heart. May it bring you glory and be well received. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last time I was here, I shared a sermon by Ray Comfort. But before that time, I talked about the importance of knowing the Word. I discussed some modern issues, such as abortion and the onslaught of sexual depravity, there you go. How the fault lies at the feet of the church, and that's because we don't take God's Word seriously, and that we need to start doing so. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Word is the bread of life. And just as we eat food physically daily to be physically fit, we need to consume the Word of God daily to be spiritually fit. One would think that that every official member here of Heritage Bible Church, heritage meaning an inheritance, special possession, an allotted portion. It also means Christian, seen as the Christian seen as God's chosen people. Bible, of course, refers to the Christian scriptures consisting of both the Old and New Testament. We must not unhitch the Old Testament. We're not a New Testament church. We're a whole Testament church. And the church, meaning a building for public Christian worship, an organization of religious believers. Now, the biblical definition of church also refers to the whole body of Christians, but seeing as how all Christians around the world are not here in attendance this morning, we can deduct that it is not the appropriate definition when we're discussing the Heritage Bible Church. Therefore, everyone here that is a member has chosen to identify as God's chosen people with an allotted portion of a special possession, heritage, that inheritance being the knowledge of both testaments found in the Holy Scripture, Bible, that routinely organizes together for public worship as Christian believers, church. If the residents of Panama City want clarification on baptism, they can go to a Baptist church. If they want to know about evangelism, they can go ask an evangelical church. But if they want to know what the Word of God has to say on any subject, it would be nice if there was a Bible church known for having the answers. Especially one with an established heritage of being recognized as knowing God's Word. What's that meaning, my fellow believers? If we are not collectively willing to dedicate our lives to knowing the Word of God, in order to share it with a lost and dying world, then perhaps it's time we re-identify ourselves by what we are known for, by what we're strong at. May I suggest Heritage Fellowship Church? We are good at fellowshipping. Now, you might want to send me a letter of fair. Phil, that's not a fair comparison. It's a lot easier to fellowship than it is to know the Word of God. Is it, though? Consider what it takes to fellowship. It usually involves food. Many members stay around after service to talk, then go to lunch. Going out to eat involves effort on all those involved. First, we must be of one accord as to where to go. Not easy. Then we will commit another hour or more of our time with our fellow believers. And of course, there is the financial sacrifice of having to pay to eat for our meal, knowing it would be cheaper to eat at home. Then there are many times we have potlucks. Helen Crow is our de facto high priestess of fellowship. She will do more than most to have things ready, but she does not do it all by herself. Many people come together to make the sign-up sheet, bring a dish, prepare the area, and clean up afterwards. Last week in Sunday school, Han reminded us what Exodus 19:6 says. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 9 expounds on this calling for each of us to be priests. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, ye also, as living stones, are built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I once heard a story about a young man that got saved at 18 years of age and started attending church. He started to read the Bible and had a lot and had many questions about it. He would come to Sunday school and engage the group with his questions. He assumed that they, being Christians longer than him, would have already thought through these questions and be able to give them some answers. Instead, what he found was the people were astonished by his desire to have a deeper understanding of the Scriptures, and knowing that they could not give him the answers he sought, encouraged him to talk to the pastor about those things and consider going to ministry so that he can get a proper education about his questions and apply his zeal as a certified church leader. These fellow churchgoers were essentially saying, "You are different from us. You need to set yourself apart from us. You need to take the path that we ourselves will not take." I know that feeling. I feel it most Sunday schools. You see, we're grouped together in tables. Ken Crow shares the topic of the day. Eventually, he will assign each table some Bible verses to discuss amongst ourselves, to eventually share with the rest of the class how that verse applies to today's topic. I find that no matter who is sitting with me, they want me to be the representative when it's time to share. Now, most of the time, I do have something to share about the verses and the topic, but that's not the point. The point is we should all have something to share about the verse and topic, because we are all called to be priests. Ladies and gentlemen, to be holy means to be set apart, to be dedicated or consecrated to God, sacred. If your default tendencies in those situations is to set yourself apart from those that you feel are set apart for God, then you're setting yourself apart from those that desire to be holy. And that should greatly concern you. For we are all called to be priests. How much are you reading the Bible since I last talked about it with you? Are you taking it in on a daily basis? How much are you reading each day? There are 66 books in the Bible written by 40 different authors. If you're reading a book a day, it'll take you over 2 months to take it all in. Are you reading a chapter a day? There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. At that pace, it'll take you 3.25 years to read the Bible. Do you have some daily Bible verse app that pops up on your phone that you can read as part of your morning devotion routine? Perhaps followed by a paragraph or two of some other person's thoughts on the verse, followed by closing with a quick prayer before moving on the rest of your day. there are 31,102 verses in the Bible. If you're only snacking on one verse of Scripture a day, it'll take you 85.2 years to get through it. I'm scared to ask this one. Are you reading less than a day? In Amos chapter 8, verses 11 through 13, we find the following prophecy. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will set a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Does that not aptly fit the world we see today? There's an overwhelming hunger for truth. The youth today faint in every sense of the word, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. They have been raised in a sea of lies. We, the church, have allowed the world to starve them of truth by failing to continually proclaim the objective fact that all objective truths are based on the Word of God. The world has suppressed truth so effectively that children are hesitant to state that there are only two genders. In the book 1984, there was an oppressive government entity known as the Ministry of Truth. It was a propaganda arm of the government. Its very title was a blatant lie about their honesty. Our government has recently established the Disinformation Governing Board, known as the DGB for short. Not to be confused with the KGB, not to be much confused. For clarity of terms, misinformation is incorrect information shared by those that are not aware that the information is false. When you are misinformed about a topic and you share the information with others because you think that it's true, you are providing misinformation. But if you tell someone something that you know is not true, but you want them to believe that it is, then you are providing disinformation. Misinformation is false info shared unknowingly. Disinformation is false info shared knowingly. The DGB consists of experts in disinformation. They will knowingly lie to the public. The only difference between the fictional Ministry of Truth and the actual DGB is that the title Ministry of Truth is a false statement about being honest, while the Disinformation Governing Board is an honest statement about being false. We are called to be real ministers of the real truth. We are all called to be priests. I've been trying to memorize scriptures ever since Pastor Rice tried to get us all started with the Bible Memory app. My initial goal was to memorize all of them. I'm up to 108 verses so far, but it takes me more than a day to memorize one verse. If I could memorize one a day, it would take me 5.2 years, and I started my 40s. So I do not have multiple lifetimes to do it. I cannot do it. No one man can do it. It would be foolish of us to put the full burden of fellowship on the shoulders of Helen Crow. It is also foolish of us to think that we can leave the burden of fully knowing God's word on the shoulders of our future pastor, or just the pastor and the elders and the church leaders. I mean, the Sunday school worshipers, leaders, Sunday school teachers. There we go. We are all called to be priests. We, as in plural. A Republican politician that does not stand for conservative values, but instead votes for the same destructive policies that Democrats vote for, is known as a RINO, which stands for Republican in name only. Let us not remain a Bible church in name only. Be not Bacchinos. Yeah, okay. Who is willing to be a subject matter on the be our subject matter expert on the book of Habakkuk, or Haggai, or Colossians? Many people came up to me after my part one and told me that it was a tough message. The word is the bread of life. I was simply covering the portents of having a good breakfast before running an endurance race. My desire still remains to talk to you about the actual race. But I realized since I shared part one that I never actually talked about the why. The why is needed. By show of hands, who here is willing to join me Saturday here at church for breakfast? This Saturday, come anyone? One, two, for breakfast. This Saturday coming up, who's willing to join me here for church? One, two. Okay. Are you willing to join me at 6 a.m. for breakfast? Got one. Okay. Now, we need to eat at 6 a.m. because we're going to run a marathon afterwards, or walk a marathon. Are you willing to join me for the early breakfast for the marathon afterwards? Okay, I'm down to zero. Now, let me give you a why. I've worked out a deal with a company that makes Fitbits, and they are willing to do a fundraiser for us. They're going to provide breakfast at 6 a.m. They're going to give everyone who attends the latest Fitbit. And then they're going to have a walk marathon. Every recorded step you take, you get a dollar for. And they will match it for the church. If you can take 1,000 steps, $1,000 for you and 1,000 for the church. Who would be willing to be here Saturday for that? A lot more hands. You have a why. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. This is all gone. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's Jesus, y'all. Tabernacle of God. And he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I could use that. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their place in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Is that not enough why? Is that not enough motivation? I'm going to share with you all something personal, something might choke me up. I have phantosmia, also known as an olfactory hallucination. I started noticing it about a month or so ago in my room. I smell cigarette smoke. I'm sitting in my room. I'm figuring my neighbor must be outside smoking. And it's close enough that it's somehow getting through the window or something. I was noticing a lot. They must smoke a lot out there. But then I noticed in my office on the other side of the house. I'm trying to figure out, is there somebody in my house smoking? So I started doing sniff tests behind their back of backpacks and jackets and clothes. All I determined was backpacks doubled as gym bags sometimes. But I also had this pain in my neck, actually kind of inside my skull here. And I had an MRI schedule, and I went to the MRI room, and I noticed the smoke smell in the MRI room. And that's where I realized Nobody smokes in an MRI, near an MRI room. And that's the center of realization. The problem was my own nose. I can't trust my own nose. That's a disturbing thing to realize that. So after I went home from the MRI because of the pain in my neck or my head there, whatever, I Googled it, and that was a big mistake. It seems it's a common side effect of an intracranial tumor. Five days last week, I figured I had multiple signs of a brain tumor. I started thinking about what I'd do with the little time I had. Write out my dissertation about the Calvinistic conundrums, publish my answer to the double slit experiment to win the Nobel Prize. But the MRI came back fine. The official impression stated, essentially unremarkable MRI of the brain. Apparently the doctor was not impressed with my brain. That was rather humbling. Turns out the bug I caught 2 months ago is messing my smell, just like COVID messed my taste last year, in conjunction with me popping my neck the wrong way and hurting my head. So, but you know what? The more I thought about it, I was kind of excited. I was excited to die. And I was really selfish. It would be, you know, be awful for the rest of y'all, but I got my ticket. I'm checking out. I'm going to heaven. Listen to Mark 9, 43 through 48. See if you catch what I'm going to highlight here. And if thy hand offends thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Did anybody see what Jesus said there? Enter into life. Enter into life maimed. Enter halt into life. Enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus equates life with the kingdom of God. This isn't life. This is plastic. It's temporary. I'm 44. I have banged in my body. I got issues with just about every part of my body. And apparently my race isn't over. I don't even know where my finish line is. All last week did was God reminded me to keep hustling, keep running. You know, he says in John 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I come that thou might have life and might have it more abundantly. Abundant life is not here on earth, people. So I need to end it here because I didn't finish the message. So, but when I return with part 3, I will focus on how to run the race well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for every day. Help us to start the day with you, in fellowship with you in your word and in prayer. Show us how to be your hands and your feet to bring you glory, to know you more and to make you known to others. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.